I count it a real privilege to speak in defense of the gospel and in behalf of Christ our Savior. We do this in the interest of the Lord's people everywhere. Those who desire to write us may do so by addressing their letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Listen now to this 28th verse from the 26th chapter of Acts. It says, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the life of the Apostle Paul. You may remember how that he was a very strict Pharisee, but Christ spoke to him on the road to Damascus one day, and his life was changed. Instead of persecuting the saints, he became one of them. Instead of seeking to destroy the gospel, he began to build it up. In doing so, he met with much opposition. The opposition was not coming so much from those who made no pretense of being a believer, but it came from the chief priests, the Pharisees, and the professors of that day. Those who pretended to serve God were the ones that brought the pressure to bear against the life of Paul. Therefore, in due course of time, Paul found himself face to face with the bonds and the persecutions which had been promised. Now, I want you to get the picture here. First, Paul was brought before Felix, the procurator of Judea. Now, remember that we're dealing with the Jews and also the mighty Roman Empire, which appointed these governors and kings. It is written of Paul and Felix in Acts 24:25 that as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I'm inclined to believe that this is the case with many people today. They're waiting for a more convenient season to do the things which they ought to do today. But let us go on. Another governor or procurator named Festus came down to Caesarea, and he was interested in hearing Paul. Therefore, once again, Paul was called in question before the governors. Many of the Jews and Pharisees wanted to catch Paul and take his life, but somehow God prevented this and spared him yet to witness before more kings and rulers. I want you to imagine, if you can, the pomp and show of that day when the famous and unforgettable words of Agrippa were said, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It was a real parade of show, of power and authority, when King Agrippa entered into the place of judgment with the chief captains and principal men of the city, with his sister Bernice and Festus. You see, Festus did not know what to accuse Paul of, and he hoped that he might be able to have somewhat to write to Caesar after Paul was brought before King Agrippa. In verse 27, chapter 25 of Acts, we read, For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. You know, that would be a rather embarrassing situation to be placed in, to have a prisoner and then not know what to accuse him of. But it seems that God had a purpose in Paul being bound. That purpose and plan was carried out by him being able to witness for Christ among the kings and those who had authority. Paul reasoned and showed that Christ was the Son of God, that it was through him that the believers were to be saved. Festus accused him of being mad because he had so much learning. But Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the word of truth and soberness. Now, King Agrippa was expert in the custom of the Jews, even though he was a part of the Roman Empire. No doubt these things must have moved his heart. Perhaps he himself felt a need of the saving grace of Christ. Perhaps he realized that it was a losing battle which he was fighting against the wicked Jews who wanted to put Paul to death. I really believe that King Agrippa in his heart would have liked to have seen Paul set free. But Paul had appealed unto Caesar, and Agrippa would have had a hard job to turn him loose. But here are the words which I want to stay with you. Let me give them to you once again from Acts 26 and verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Friends, I do not know whether King Agrippa was ever fully persuaded to accept Christ or not. It's quite likely that he was caught with the tide of public opinion and swept along in this condition without Christ in his life. But I would like to emphasize his words, "Almost thou persuadest me." It's not enough to be almost persuaded. Almost means near or close. One might come ever so near a place and yet not get there. I once heard about a man who was running a race. He was ahead and leading his opponent, but through the groans and puffing of the man behind him, he became distracted and lost the race. Yes, he almost won, but he failed. Friends, Felix and Festus and King Agrippa had their day of choice. Felix trembled. Festus said that Paul was mad, and Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." These men and others have lived their lives, but you and I are faced today with a choice which we're required to make. It is an important choice, but it should be made of one's own free will. I cannot choose for you. Your parents cannot choose for you. Neither can your wife or husband choose for you. We cannot force you. The Apostle Paul could not force King Agrippa to be a Christian. But it is the most important choice which all of us are called upon to make in life. This choice, if made for God, will bring a change in one's heart and life. True repentance and a living faith will bring happiness. Your home will be a better place in which to live. Your state and your nation will be a better place for yourself and others when you make the correct choice to serve God. There's a little touch of sadness about anyone being almost persuaded. One may come ever so close to heaven and yet be turned away. The rich young ruler who knelt before Christ wanted to know what to do to be saved. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He reminded him to keep the commandments. The young ruler said, "All these have I observed from my youth up. What lack I yet?" He came close to being a Christian, but Jesus said, "One thing thou likest yet." But somehow, he must have had his heart set upon that one thing. That was his riches. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He came close, but I doubt if he ever returned to find Christ in his life. Friends, let me make this personal appeal to you. Are you almost persuaded? Are you in doubt? Are you unconcerned? May God help you to be not almost persuaded, but fully persuaded and wholly given to the cause of Christ. If you've made failures in the past, may God help you to commit them from this day on and let the blood of Christ erase them from your lives. Listen now to this poem entitled, "Today Mine." Yesterday now is a part of forever, bound up in a sheaf which God holds tight, with glad days and sad days and bad days, which never shall visit us more with their bloom and their blight, their fullness of sunshine or sorrowful night. Let them go, since we cannot retrieve them, cannot undo and cannot atone. God, in his mercy, receive, forgive them. Only the new days are our own. Today is ours, and today alone. I hope that each of you will be not almost persuaded, but fully persuaded to commit your lives into the hands of God. Let us pray. Our Father, even as the Apostle Paul was not almost, but fully persuaded to do thy will, even so we pray that you would bless those who hear this message today. Help each one to fully surrender their lives to the will of God and to thee. We will give the praise through Christ our Savior. Amen. Listen now to the song entitled, "I Shall Not Be Moved." It's sung by Bobby Forbes, Dale Doolittle, Randall Flynn, and Troy Gentry.
Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In his love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In his love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Now, let me leave a question with you to ponder on through the day. If God put Adam out of this earthly Garden of Eden on account of one sin, do you think he will let us into the paradise above with 10,000 sins upon us? It doesn't seem that it would be fair, does it? Remember, heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. Also, remember this, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Surely the Lord wants to cleanse and free every soul. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.